Welcome to the Level Up Infection Prevention Podcast with Michelle and India.
We are your team with one mission.
Creating champions in infection prevention.
My name is India Chance, a dental hygienist, a compliance consultant for Learn to Prevent, and an overall infection control nerd.
And my name is Michelle Strange, dental hygienist, co-founder of A Tale of Two Hygienists podcast, lover of dentistry and all things infection prevention. Welcome to season one. We're glad you're here. So welcome to the final episode, episode 10 in our little season one installment of, for infection prevention. My name is Michelle.
And my name is India. Today we are talking about sharp safety and safe injection practices. So I'm kind of excited about this a little bit. I like this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All about the rules.
So, So, and we've established that India loves the compliance and I love the sciencey, nerdy stuff. So this is, this is such a perfect little marriage here.
Yes.
You know, I would like to just say that I did some really horrible things early on in my practice as a clinician with sharp safety, because I would like pull 15 blades off with my fingers, like, oh, it was so bad. I just think about all the things that I used to do. And because I wasn't taught, like, you know, I wasn't taught right. any of this. I just kind of got thrown into it. I'm like, oh, I'm assuming this
right,
is
fine. Right.
I was careful. Right. You know, I was very mindful when I was taking it off, but it doesn't make it right.
Right.
You
right.
got to have some kind of safety devices out
right,
there.
Right. Exactly. I had on the job training. My very first dental position was
me too.
As a dental assistant. And so at that time, the practice owner could teach you everything. I mean, you didn't have to be certified in anything. So
exactly.
He taught me
how
to take
the case. In
yeah,
a lot of
yeah,
places.
It is. So regarding sharp safety, he just gave me some on the job training. I think it was like a 5-minute chit chat about this is what you do. This is how you remove the needles. And that's it. So I kind of
that was yep, it. Right.
I just learned as I went along. So.
And, you know, there's actually a Sharps Safety and the Needle Stick Prevention Act out there, because we had so many percutaneous injuries that Congress was like, y'all need to get on top of this, and then made OSHA add more guidelines
right.
to this.
Yeah. Well, so it originally started. Well, see, the thing is, in dentistry, we don't have as much oversight as the medical community. And so, but they realized that we use, you know, we come into contact with needles and things like that. And so, yep. So this Needle Stick Safety and Prevention Act totally applies to us. And it talks about, it's actually part of the Bloodborne Pathogen Standard. And it clarifies the need for employers, including, you know, dental practice owners, to select safer sharp devices as they become available and to involve non-managerial employees in identifying and choosing safe devices. So there's a lot that goes into that. There's also some instruction on how we are supposed to recap our needles and how we are supposed to dispose of them and what engineering controls, which are the devices that we use in the practice, what controls we have to have in place so that we can increase the safety of us using them from, you know, patient to patient. And so we are going to get right into that.
Let's do
it. Yes, let's do it.
Let's talk about it.
All right. So first up is workplace controls and engineering controls. So Michelle, did you want to kind of share about the difference between those two?
Sure. So your engineering controls, they're going to be more devices and equipment that are going to add an additional barrier between you, the healthcare worker, and the chance of exposure or the risk. So again, sharp safety, when we're talking about that, that's like your sharps container. You know, like it's a thick plastic container that doesn't allow those needles to stick you. So if you throw it in there versus in a trash can, you're eliminating or removing or reducing that risk, right? I should say reducing, because you're not necessarily eliminating it mm-hmm, completely, because
right.
people pull the tops off and they try to get in there sometimes.
Or they
which
overfill
is against
it.
The rules. Or they overfill
right.
it. So it is just an engineering device, something that was created, manufactured to add an additional barrier to your exposure to this risk, and sharps, again, being a pretty big one. And then the work practice controls is if you use it, if you do it correctly, if you follow those instructions for use, if you're following that, you know, your standard operating procedures. So you don't, let's say a standard operating procedure is when we use anesthesia, we take that needle off in a very specific way using these needle engineering controls or safer needle devices, or like even just your recapping one-handed scoop technique. That's a work practice control. So you don't always have to have that engineering control there, right? Mm-hmm. But we know those like little index cards that hold your cap so that you can recap it without poking yourself, or the little metal holders that you can kind of stick the cap back in upside down and, you know, it's holding the cap for you so you don't hold it with one hand. But your work practice controls are you using those things and having that workflow. So again, we recap with these, and then our protocol is to put that needle in the sharps container in the room before we walk out and take everything to sterilization. And so that's essentially what that, you know, your engineering controls and your work practice. Also, I hear administrative controls as well when we talk about work practice. But, you know, it's just using it.
Yeah, exactly. And OSHA goes one step further regarding those sharps containers, and their language that they have says that those sharps containers should be at the closest area of use. So that is why you should have the sharps container in the room so that you dispose of the contaminated needle, or let's say it's a contaminated instrument that's broken, something that's sharp can go, a broken carpule, you know, anesthetic carpule, anything like that, anything that would puncture the trash is said to need to go into the sharps container. And so that is why you want to dispose of it at the closest area of use. Doing that, in addition, also reduces the hazard of when you're finished with the appointment and you're transporting any type of contaminated instruments or anything like that, when you discard the contaminated sharp, and then if like you're walking down the hall or something like that, you just reduce the risk, the hazard of if you're, you know, you bump into someone. And so that, you know, that's why they want you to dispose of it closest area of use. So you're spot on, Michelle, with the difference between the workplace practice controls. Some people call them workplace habits, too. It's just the habit and how you kind of deal with a particular situation. And then you're right, the engineering controls, the devices. And there are some cool devices. That's part of the other piece to this whole Needle Stick Safety and Prevention Act, sharp safety. You are supposed to review any type of new devices that are on the market. And you and I saw a pretty cool one at OSAP. It's called Simple Cap. And that is a needle that has cap over top of it. And it's self-sheathing, as I believe that's what he said it was. It's self-sheathing. So,
and you like twist it.
Yeah,
right?
You twist it and comes in long and short. So your blue and your yellow, right? And then when you're ready to use the needle, you twist the protective plastic that's covering the needle. You twist it and pull it down. You administer the anesthesia. And then when you're finished, you twist it and that plastic protective covering covers the needle, so that there, you know, there's no way for you to get a needle stick injury. And so it's pretty cool. It's been in the medical industry for a long time. And so, you know, it's just now coming to the dental world. And I'm excited because I think it's really cool. It will definitely help to prevent any type of needle stick injuries, especially if you are like the dental assistant and you have to reprocess the, you know, the operatory and you're dealing with the contaminated sharps, or if you're the dental hygienist and, you know, you're allowed to give anesthesia, or even if you're the dentist and you work by yourself, really anybody that deals with needles can actually benefit. So I thought it was pretty cool. It's called Simple Cap. So
that's nice. And the thing is, you know, this is a new one to us, and every year we should be looking for new devices and evaluating those devices and evaluating what we already have. Well, it's actually called a two-step process. Like, we're screening for other devices, seeing if that would actually work in our practice, and then we're evaluating the things that we already have. And this is going to be super important because if, for instance, you have somebody on the team that just can't understand simple cap or, you know, doesn't use it properly, then we need to evaluate that and maybe look at some other safe needle devices that prevent that risk of exposure. Maybe they do better with an index card or something out there, but you should be evaluating this as a team each year and coming up, and they actually are coming up with a new protocol or confirming that your protocols are working. And so they actually have these steps for conducting even just a pilot test in the evaluation phase. And they pretty much kind of, it's like five steps. One, you're going to receive training on the correct use of the device. We want to make sure that we know how to use it. What's the instructions for use? And then use the safety device and document experience through informal feedback and just or completing an evaluation form. And then the employer or the ICC or your safety officer, they monitor whether the device is even being used properly and stops the pilot test if the device is found to be unsafe. So if you find like nobody can get the hang of it, then you need to hang that one up. And then at the end of the pilot test, you want to discuss any, you know, anything good, the bad, any complications, anything that was an issue. Also cost. We want to evaluate cost because that's a big thing as well. And then, you know, your findings are reviewed by the employer and then the ICC or the safety officer. And then you make a decision about the continued use of that new device. And this should be happening on a yearly basis.
Yeah, so it's pretty easy. It sounds like it's a lot, but it's actually a pretty easy type of evaluation to do. And so some of the tips that I recommend to some of my clients will be like, if you're attending any type of dental industry convention or anything, grab some of the samples, take those back to the practice, you know, hygienist, dental assistant, you know, dentist, take those back to the practice, introduce those to the clinical team and share those with everybody so that they can implement those on one or two patients and then have a quick debriefing huddle. Did you like it? Did you not like it? Pros and cons. And you just have a checklist and you just write that down, complete the checklist, or you just write down the name of the device, who used it, and pros and cons. It's really simple. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn out process. You could even take a video, like let's say you can't get a sample of something for whatever reason. And I don't know, can't get a sample, you know, whatever. And so take a video of a demo or go onto the website of the product and grab the video, share it with the team, talk about it. If you cannot get an actual sample to do an evaluation phase, then at least you can have some type of documentation that you have been trying to keep up on the newer devices. And if you find that, you know, you do want to try it, reaching out to the company to see if they would be willing to send you trial package or something, you know, some type of deal where you could actually get it into your practice. But the record keeping is key, because if you are ever going to need to show proof that you've been assessing certain devices on the market, you'll want to keep track of that. So but again, it just doesn't need to be really drawn out, you know, long and drawn out.
Yeah. No, that's a good point, because when you hear steps, you're like, oh, God, it's
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, exactly.
It really is.
Exactly. It's like, oh my God, one more thing that we have to do, you know, an add on. It could even be as quick as like part of like your team meeting or your huddle or something like that. It could be a huddle.
I was about to bring that up. You know? Like, are y'all good with this? Are you working? Yeah. Do you have any problems? Do you fumble with it? Do you have any? We're good. Then
we
don't need to make any big changes. And if financially, you might be like, this is efficient and cost efficient and we're good.
Especially now, you know, we're recording this during the whole pandemic. And so finances is going to be a conversation that comes up
huge
in a lot
conversation.
Of device conversations, you know, new equipment conversations. And so, yeah, I mean, just do something, make a good faith effort so that you, if you ever need to show proof that you were evaluating and you were trying to adhere to the Needle Stick Prevention Act, that you were doing that. But yeah, it doesn't have to be that big of a deal.
And I will be very honest, when I was the OSHA person in my office to make sure that we were doing our training and everything, and I went through like the binder, I literally just copied it from year to year. I did not evaluate anything. And so I did not do right by our practice.
Right.
I mean, we were also a very safe practice anyway, because we were a surgical practice and we had very specific, like we were on the mark with a lot of things. So I didn't have to reevaluate a lot of things, right. But I didn't do my due diligence as the OSHA person. And looking back on it, like now I'm like, gosh, that would have been a way better tool.
Right.
But I didn't know because I didn't go look it up. Right. So you just, you know, every now and again, go check it out. And if you're ever at the exhibit hall of any of these conferences, like, you know, keep your eyes peeled for those devices.
Yeah.
Because there might be something that works really well for your office.
Yeah. And it's not like there's a brand new device that comes out like every month. That's what I'm saying. Like, this isn't going to be like a task that has to be done
exactly.
all the time. I mean, it takes a long time for something like this to kind of make its way to the dental market. So yeah. Like I said, I think before this whole SimpleCap, I don't think I've seen
anything,
anything
in a while.
In a long time. And so sometimes you have built-in devices, like if you're using cassettes, there's this piece of metal that you can use that will attach to the cassette, and that is your cap holder.
Recapping
device. Yeah, your
device.
Recapping
yeah.
device, mm-hmm. exactly. It holds the cap, and a lot of people didn't realize, but that's been around for a long time. So it's not like they're coming
time.
Out with a bunch of new devices all the time. So you're probably, for the next couple of years, you'll probably see the same stuff.
You might be all right.
Yeah, so you'll be okay. Yeah, exactly.
And the other thing I wanted to, because we are talking a lot about recapping of our anesthesia needles and everything, but you know, this is your surgical blades as well. There are devices out there for your surgical blades, so you can take them on and off without, you know, but otherwise you can do like a hemostat, just making sure that you're like, you're not doing what I did for years, which is taking off of my darn fingers. Like,
yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. But also, you know, some of your sharps, things that go into a sharp container, if you're in an ortho office, just the ortho wires, because they're sharp too. So these are like little things that should not go into a trash. If they've been in somebody's mouth and they are sharp and you're disposing of them, they need to go into that sharps container. And I would,
yeah,
you know,
for
one
sure.
thing that we,
I would agree with
in,
that.
In that, yeah. yeah. So the thing that isn't also in the, like specifically, unless you have some different info that I might have missed, is our, you know, scalers. And we do have an engineering control that's our cassettes that stabilize those sharp instruments. But we're not disposing of them. We're going to reuse them, but we want to stabilize them. And that is an engineering control, our instrument cassettes. And also our ultrasonic units are an engineering control because they jiggle with the enzymatic cleaner all the gunk off. So we don't have to scrub them, which is, again, we're removing that. We're creating a barrier, right, between us and the chance of exposure. And scrubbing instruments increases your chance of an exposure because you're scrubbing sharp instruments.
Right, exactly.
So
yeah.
Using engineering controls aren't just your sharps container and things like that to keep you from getting a percutaneous injury. It's, you know, cassettes and ultrasonics.
And your utility,
you know,
gloves.
Like
I
that.
Mean, OSHA,
and your
OSHA
utility
still
gloves.
Has not remove that.
Good call.
From the mandate.
Good call.
When you are reprocessing contaminated instruments, you should be donning utility gloves. Those actually prevent from any type of sharps injuries, you know, in the sterilization area. So even mm-hmm. when you're reprocessing your operatory, OSHA still says that you should be donning the utility gloves. Now, I think in one of our previous episodes, we talked about certain disinfectants and stuff like that, you can wear exam gloves, but OSHA still says the utility gloves help. And it relates mm-hmm. to this particular topic. And this is why, because it can prevent from any type of sharps injury. One thing I do want to go back to really quickly is when you said what's going in the trash, like the ortho wires. The thing is, it's not just about us. If you have a third party that comes in and deals with your housekeeping, you want to make sure that they don't get injured either. And so OSHA is saying to make sure that anything that can puncture the trash bag should be placed into the biohazard waste or the sharps container, something like that. I would recommend that you write a letter to your state dental board or whoever the governing agency is, for whoever deals with your inspections at a state level of your dental practice, and find out, get some clarification from them regarding exactly what they want to see in the biohazard and in the sharps container. Because yes, OSHA lays it out for us. It's plain, you know, but sometimes at the state level, they want a little bit more Or you might have a state OSHA plan that requires you to do a couple of extra procedures or workplace practice controls, or use a couple, you know, maybe an additional engineering control. And so, for instance, for me, I live in the state of Maryland. And so there's a little bit more that we sometimes have to do regarding biohazard waste. And so getting some clarification in writing from that legal entity is a good idea. But yeah, you know, utilizing all of that. But those utility gloves, guys.
I know. And no one likes to use them. But they're super important.
I know. And just what you could do, some tips, make sure that they fit properly, because that's a big complaint that, you know, I can't pick up the instruments properly, or, you know, they don't fit right. So get a pair that fits you properly. Ideally, it would be great for each clinical team member to have their own pair, so that whenever they need them, they have access to them. And you can get the autoclavable ones.
Now, is that mandated or is it just recommended?
No, that's mandated.
That everybody have their own?
Yeah. Oh, no, everyone that's has their just own recommended. Pair. Yeah, that's just recommended. Okay. But you have to have a pair in the sterilization area. So one pair is, you at least have to have one pair. But because they don't all fit properly on every single person, you could technically say it's mandated because the PPE is supposed to fit properly. According to the PPE section the Bloodborne Pathogen Standard for OSHA, all of your PPE is supposed to fit properly to avoid any type of hazards. So if those utility gloves are too small or they're too big, then technically you are supposed to have your own so that they fit you correctly, so you can reduce the risk of hazard. So
good points there.
There's those. See, this is why, you know, this is what we were talking about in another episode, how
there's
a lot of
so
stuff
much
is
to learn.
Like, so overwhelming. There's so many nuances.
It is. Yeah. It is overwhelming. And, you know, like if somebody is in charge of both, luckily we kind of tag team this, you know, where you know things. Well, you know all of it. And I'm just like,
no, you
know the
are
randomness
really
of
like,
it all.
You are right on my heels, Michelle. I mean, you are like a rock star when it comes to this stuff. Yeah.
I'm very much appreciating all of my mentors in this IC world. Yeah. And we've already established, like, I really don't care so much about OSHA. You love the compliance. I'm like, I got to learn it and I get it. But I like the science behind infection control and microbiology and looking at the research that supports it. But also, I think it's super important to make sure all of our patients are always safe. And that's what makes me like charge forward with infection prevention, because nobody got time for even the common cold. We can't even be giving that to our patients. We have to do what's right by them.
We do. We do. I mean, and we've seen this in OSAP and they talk about it a lot. It's all about delivering the safest dental visit possible, but it's not just for the patient. It's for us too. I mean, you know, we come into contact.
Families.
Yeah. I mean, we come into contact with a lot of different people, a lot of different immune systems, you know, a lot of different medical conditions, a lot of different diseases on a regular basis, every day, all day. And so it's really important that we learn about this information, but get credible information, because I think that's some of the issue. You hear so many different things. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm just excited. I'm so happy about this podcast, because I think it's long overdue and that we kind of need to, you know, focus on some of these areas where we need clarification, just like what we were talking about, these utility gloves, you know, and sharp safety.
Yes.
Exactly. Like, what exactly do we need? You know, so
exactly.
So if any of the listeners want to know, you would find this information in the Bloodborne Pathogen Standard for OSHA, for dental and medical offices. So that's where you could find the actual Needle Stick Prevention Act, like everything that we are required to do and mandated. For sharp safety is in the Bloodborne Pathogen Standard for OSHA.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And as we, you know, this is the last of our season one that we have planned, at least. We do plan on coming out with a season two to kind of update you on everything that might change or has changed with after the, you know, in the wake of a pandemic. And we do hope that you guys enjoyed and took some pearls from this, but at the end of the day, this is not your final place to get your education. There are amazing places like OSAP.org that you can visit. We highly encourage you to attend an OSAP annual meeting or boot camp. We'll be there almost. I think I'm forever and always just going to these things.
Yes,
so you can
exactly.
come find us and hang out with us at one of these boot camps or annual sessions.
Yes.
And, you know, but don't let this be the only infection control thing that you hear. Go and get more education on any of these topics that you weren't completely knowledgeable about.
Yes. And we are just excited. I mean, I know for me, I can't say enough. I'm just excited this is here and I'm looking forward to what we're going to bring in season two. But I do encourage everyone, OSHA.gov, there's CDC, OSAP. I mean, all of those are credible resources. OSAP has an amazing newsletter that they send out. It gives you team huddle topics, a lot of clarification on a lot of these nuances that we talked about. And so mm-hmm. they also give you information on the infection control coordinator, job responsibilities. They give you a job description. And so there is just a ton of information on OSAP.org, and as well as CDC and OSHA. But OSAP.org, the one thing I like about them is it's kind of all in one place, so you don't have to do too much searching. But yeah, check it out. And so for your infection control coordinators, I would recommend a membership to OSAP.org because you get access to a lot more resources as a member.
Yeah, and mine's about to expire, so I'm going to go renew right now. Yep.
Yeah.
Mine's getting up and I'm going to do that because I absolutely drive them bonkers with the questions that I send, because that's a thing that you could do as
yes.
a member is send them clarify like questions, and they won't support one particular product, which is OSAP. Like, they're very unbiased. They'll just get you the information that you need to, and then you can go use your critical thinking skills and apply it to things. So
yeah. And yeah. they offer resources to back their response, which is really mm-hmm. cool, because you can then do, you know, more research if you want to get some more information. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, awesome. We really thank you guys for hanging out with us for these 10 episodes. We're really excited about the future of infection prevention. We hope that we can all make it the safest dental visits for every single one of our patients and for us. And like India said, you know, it's not just for our patients. It's for us, our other team members, and our family, because we could be carriers to a lot of things we're exposed to, and we just take it to our, you know, family, which is not cool. But we hope you, if you have any questions, you can always reach out to us, and we would love that very much. And look for more to come from me in India.
Yes. And remember, guys, safety is no accident. So stay safe.
Oh, yeah, girl. That's a way to end it.
Thanks for listening, everyone. You can find India at learn2prevent.com. You can find Michelle at atale2hygienistwithans@theend.com. And stay tuned for our website, levelupip.com, where we will be elevating the role of the infection control coordinator. Thanks for listening to the Level Up Infection Prevention Podcast.